الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers last week we were discussing a hadith of Rasul Pak صلى الله عليه وسلم and we had discussed the first part of that hadith in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that O my beloved Nabi, verily we have sent you as a witness. Inna arsalnaka shahidam wa mubashiram wa nazira, as the giver of glad tidings and as a warner. Wa hirzal lil ummiyin, and as a protector of those who are unlettered. There is a detailed explanation to that, but I'm not going into that now. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Anta abdi wa rasuli. You are my slave, you are my servant, you are my true abd. And at the same time, I have named you mutawakkil, the one who trusts most in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is being directly addressed that I have named you mutawakkil. Allah Ta'ala says, I named you Mutawakkil. Anta abdi wa rasuli sammaitukal Mutawakkil. And then Allah Ta'ala describes certain sifats and qualities of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we have to discuss the first part again, we will not be able to go any further. So let us proceed. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressing Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam or describing the sifats of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says لَيْسَ بِفَزْزٍ وَلَا غَلِيزٍ وَلَا سَخَّابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or addressing the people, mankind in general, or the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, whether it is ummah of da'wat or ummah of ijabat, Allah Ta'ala says that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is neither harsh nor hard-hearted. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is neither harsh nor hard-hearted. And neither is he loud-mouthed in the bazaars. Now these three sifats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have been mentioned in this hadith. Of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was asked to describe Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, his character. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that, did you not read the Quran Sharif? If you want to see the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then you must read the Quran Sharif. Whatever is in the Quran Sharif, that was the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered, if you wanted to see it in action and being practiced and exemplified, then you must see it in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself describes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's character as khuluqi azim, sublime, highest of the highest level. So that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that's what she meant, that if you want to see the true teachings of the Quran Sharif, then see it in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, that was his character. But nevertheless, in this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's certain sifats are being described, and he said that you are neither harsh nor hard-hearted. Now this is a sifat which we have to bring into ourselves. It is not just to read that that was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's character and be happy about it and praise and glorify and think that we have done justice. through the praise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if we have to talk about his face, if we have to talk about his hands, if we have to talk about his hair, if we have to talk about his body, then none of us can now make our faces like the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our features we cannot make like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can adopt the teachings with regard to that face. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, قَصُّ الشَّارِ وَعْفُ اللُّهَا. Shorten your moustaches and lengthen your beards. And that lengthening also does not mean lengthen it up to the navel. Lengthening means up to one fist length, slightly more than that. But it should not be such that people begin to think that it is not a neat way of keeping a beard. The sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also has got certain limits. If a person keeps the beard within the limits, then definitely it is going to give beauty to that face. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota, to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. If by keeping a beard a person's face was looking horrible and ugly and filthy, then the beard would never have been the sunnat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Showing that even if men folk want beauty, then the beauty Allah Ta'ala has given for men folk in their beards and for women folk in their long hair. So that we can do, but we cannot make our noses like the nose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot make our eyes like the beautiful eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had created him, as Hasan ibn Sabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, ka annaka khuliqta kama tashao. You have been created as if Allah created you as, just as you desired. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, laysa bi fazzin wala ghaliz, that he is not harsh and hard hearted. Now this is one problem that we are facing in our homes, in our society, in the community, in dealings with our family members, with our brothers and sisters, with our relatives, with our clients and customers, with our employees or with our employers, whichever way you look at it, that there is that hard and harsh heart that seems to be reflected in our dealings, projected in our dealings. That there is no projection of that softness of heart that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had asked us to have. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you look at his entire life, this was a very glaring quality of his, very distinguishing feature of his life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزَّنْ غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, that if you were harsh and hard-hearted, then you would not even found these people around you. I'm just giving you the meaning that they would have dispersed. One meeting with you would have been sufficient for them to disperse. They would not have found that peace and harmony. They would not have enjoyed your company. They would not have been finding it easy to come and communicate with you, to talk to you, to sit with you. They would have just heard, they should have seen your harsh and hard dealing just once and dispersed from you. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was full of forgiveness. Full of forgiveness. Therefore in the same hadith, after this description, that Allah tabaraka, that you are not harsh and hard hearted, and you are not loud mouthed in the bazaars. Immediately after that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيَّاتَ بِسَيَّاءَ وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَغْفِرُ, that you do not repel evil with evil. You do not repel evil with evil. But what you do is you forgive and you overlook. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this was a very distinguishing quality of his, that he was not harsh and hard. In dealings he was found to be extremely soft natured. Even if he was the loser, but you will find him extremely soft natured. It does not mean that a person must not be alert and he must be cheated by others. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his qualities was mentioned by one of his envoys, that la yakhda wa la yukhda, that neither a person can cheat him and nor does he cheat anyone. Nobody can come and deceive him, and he doesn't deceive anyone too. So if a person is all the time deceived, it's not a very good quality. To be very bhola bhala, that a person keeps taking a person for a ride, and that person thinks that, well, this is a sign of a good Muslim, then that is not correct. Sign of a good Muslim is that he is alert, he is sharp, he is witty, he is understandable, he does not deceive others and he does not get deceived himself. But I'm talking about in dealings, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely soft natured. No matter how hard and how difficult the opposite party was, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his dealing with the opposite party, he was always very soft. So much so that he forgave even his enemies, which we all know of. Even in the bazaars, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this hadith Qudsi, he says that you are not loud mouthed. If we have to go to our business houses these days, people who are 5-time namazis, people who have got deen in their lives, roza, zakat, hajj, but when it comes to business dealings, or when you have to look at them in the business houses, then the screaming and the shouting and all that goes with it, we just wonder whether this person has got tawakkul in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he is the provider of rizq. In so many khutbas you have heard so many times, Ala wa inna nafsa lan tamut hatta tastakmila rizqaha fattaqullah wa ajmilu fit talab wa tawakkalu alay. If we have to just translate this and go into the discussion on this, then it will take the whole 20 minutes, but the gist of that is that whatever risk Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made muqaddar for a person, whatever is destined to reach you, it will reach you. You are not going to die, you are not going to leave this world until you have eaten that grain on which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has written your name. One buzruk once had a kashf. There was a grain of rice on the table, and he said that this grain of rice, it was kashf. Allah ta'ala gives to the Ahlullah sometimes kashf. He said, this grain of rice is going to go down the neck of a rooster. So another person who was sitting with him, he said, this is absolute nonsense, it is stupid, it is foolish. How can this grain of rice be going down the throat of a rooster when it is here on the dastarkhan? And he said, I will prove it to you, I will eat it and show you that it will go down my throat. So he took it and put it into his mouth. But he got choked. And now he's coughing, that grain won't come out. So he went outside, because now it was disturbing all the people that were eating. So he went outside by the window and coughed, and that grain came out. There was a rooster there that picked up that grain. So sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows it. But what is meant here is that grain which is written for that person, he is not going to die. His risk is after him. Just as death is behind a person, death is not going to leave a person. This person is not going to die until he has got the last grain down his throat. Sometimes a person has got the morsel in his mouth and his life goes, and that morsel does not go down his throat. How many times we have seen that? That the person has something in his hand which he is about to eat, and the angel of death takes his soul away and that remains in his hand. So whatever Allah Ta'ala has made muqaddar, this person is going to definitely get. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that if Allah Ta'ala has put in the muqaddar of a person to ride in a very lavish car, in a luxury car, and is a very poor person, then Allah Ta'ala will make him a shafa' someday, and he will drive that king around. He is a poor person, he's got nothing, he can't even afford a bicycle, but he became a shafa' and now he's driving the king around. So he is sitting in that car which was in his muqaddar to drive. So this hadith makes it very clearly known that whatever is the risk of a person, the person will get. So why should he shout and scream in the bazaars and marketplaces? Whatever merchandise he has got, he must sell that merchandise, he must describe the merchandise to the customer and client, but there should not be that screaming and shouting and that noise and that music and everything, as if that bazaar or if that shop has become a macheni, it has become a fish market. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, he is described as a person who is not loud-mouthed in the bazaars. Even when he is transacting his business, even when he was taking the merchandise for Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he went to Syria. There too he was never found to be screaming and shouting with regards to the description of his merchandise. It is not haram, it is permissible, perfectly jais to advertise and to reasonably explain to the customer and client the beauty of that goods that the person is selling, but to be shouting and screaming, that is not the sifat of a Muslim in the bazaars and marketplaces. He should be following Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah, because whatever is his muqaddar, he will get. And if it's not in his muqaddar, he will spend the whole day trying to sell that particular item, and it is not going to get sold. And if it is in his muqaddar and taqdeer, then we do not know from where that customer will come and just buy and purchase that article. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept that taqdeer, the person will get what has been destined for him, then we must have that yaqeen in that, and then transact our businesses in that particular way. Then we will find peace in our own lives too, and the customers and clients and whoever will deal with us, they too will see that softness of our nature, just as the people saw the softness of the nature of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz, that he was not harsh and he was not hard-hearted. Hard-hearted, that means the person is not prepared to forgive at any cost. Whatever happens, he says, I'm not going to forgive that person. Over my dead body, he can come. And sometimes they say, over my dead body also, you mustn't come. I do not even want you in my janazah salat. I'm not prepared to forgive at all. So the Quran Sharif tells us, that beautiful ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِئُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. In that ayat again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِيُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, and run. We all heard of the marathon runners. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not telling us you mustn't run. He is also saying we must run. But the running that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ordering us towards is the running towards His maghfirat. Maghfirat of the Rabb, say run towards that. Of course, it doesn't mean that a person mustn't jog, he mustn't run, he mustn't exercise. But what I am referring to here is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this desire in your heart to beat the other person, it's not a bad desire. This desire to beat the other person is not a bad desire, it's a good desire. But in what must you beat the other person? Not in wealth, not in property, not in these type of sports. You beat the other person when it comes to running towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, seeking maghfirat of Allah, seeking maghfirat of your Rabb. And Jannat, the width of which alone is the seven heavens and the earth put together, that is the width of Jannat itself. Say, run towards that. Try to compete with others in that. And then Allah Ta'ala says, it has been prepared for those who have got taqwa. Those who restrain themselves from haram. There is no other way that a person can get Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's closeness and marifat and muhabbat and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's muhabbat except by taqwa. And taqwa again, I repeat, is not the name of performing 10,000 rakats of namaz. Taqwa is not the name of reading 100,000 times some tasbih. Taqwa is restraining yourself from that which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared haram. In these times, if a person just restrains himself from haram, he becomes the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Other people had to do a lot of spiritual exercises before becoming the wali. But in these days, just a little bit of restraining from haram and the person can become wali. Make namaz 5 times a day, wajibat, sunnat, sunnats, and then the person restrains himself from haram. Make amar bil maruf, nahi anil munkar, and the person is the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says that this jannat has been prepared for the muttaqeen. Those people who spend in prosperity and in adversity, in good times and in bad times. In bad times they spend according to what they have at that time. And in good times they spend according to what Allah Ta'ala has given them in good times. But again, we should not be spending in charities just for name and fame, giving hundreds of thousands of rands and the money has been borrowed from the banks. And we are paying interest upon interest and displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala 24 hours of the day. because we are under his lanat and under his curse. The person who takes, who gives, who witnesses, who assists a other person in interest transactions, all of them are in the same category. So imagine if the person is under the umbrella of the curse of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then he is giving charities on the other hand. What is the advantage? What is the benefit? He rather make it very clearly known to the collectors and the people that are coming for donations that unfortunately at this stage in my life, I am owing the banks a lot of money and I want to get out of all my interest payments, and therefore I can only afford to give you 5 rands or 10 rands. And if that person doesn't want to accept it, then tell him, Jazakallah, leave that behind too. I can say this because inshallah you won't find me at your door coming with a book for collection. But that is the truth. There are people who are owing hundreds of thousands of rands to the banks, and just for name fame, to show that so and so has given 50,000 to this madrasa, and he gave 30,000 to that madrasa, and he built a whole hostel for a certain madrasa. And after a few years you find that that person packs up his bags and disappears, and he has left people with millions of rands owing. So Allah Ta'ala is not in need of such kind of charities. There is no need to build big projects if we cannot manage building them. If a person cannot afford, or if a person cannot manage a big project, then run a small project. Allah Ta'ala will not question you that why didn't you accommodate 10,000 students in your institution. Allah Ta'ala will question the person that why did you borrow from the banks without any justification. So this is another very important point. That the person, whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has destined for him, he will receive. He has to make a little bit of effort and Allah ta'ala will give him. So Allah ta'ala says that in good times and in bad times they spend. And bad times means that when they are not owing the banks and in debts and all kinds of things, what it means is that before they had plentiful, now they have little less than that. So from that also they don't say that now that it has reduced a little, so we won't spend. They still give in the cause of deen. And then they swallow their anger, they drink their anger. They swallow their anger. Allah Ta'ala says, Wal kazimin al ghayz. They drink it up. When the anger comes, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that they don't get angry. Anger is a natural thing. It comes. Hazrat Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the person who is made to get angry and he doesn't get angry, then he is a donkey. If the person, somebody is interfering with his wife, and he says, no, I mustn't get angry, then he's a donkey. So anger is a natural thing. But when a person is asked for forgiveness, the person was made to get angry, that something was told to the staff, to the servant, to the maid, do this, do that, and the person didn't do it, now you got angry. So anger is natural. But when the person is said, please make me maaf, I made a mistake, then if this person does not forgive when he is told to forgive, when he is requested to forgive, then Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, then he is shaitan. If he didn't get angry, he was a donkey. But now when he is asked for forgiveness and he does not accept this person's apology, then he is a shaitan. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz wala sakhabin fil aswaq wala yadfau sayyata bisayya وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُ وَيَخْفِرُ. So this is another very important sifat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was always found to be dealing very, very softly, politely, with great humility. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never displayed any kind of arrogance in his life, any kind of pride. He did not deal with people considering himself to be superior to them, whereas he was superior than everybody else. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq was such that you would have found him down to earth, simple. So this is what we have to learn from the seerat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives an extension of the visa of life until another fortnight, then we will continue with this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But just listening to these things is not sufficient. If we have got this weakness, then we must start making islah of our nafs. Without our islah, we are not going to get anywhere. And it is easy to make islah of our namaz. It is easy to make islah of our roza and zakat. It is easy to make islah of our hajj. But when it comes to islah of our akhlaq, then there good people fail. when they are tested for their akhlaq, then you find all the weakness coming to the surface. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah of Rasul Pak Sallam the tawfiq to make amal on the beautiful teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and to bring into our lives the akhlaq of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then not much speeches will be required to bring people into the fold of Islam. There are so many incidents. Inshallah, if Allah wills, we will discuss. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.